Let me get on the mic here. We're back in session. And at this point in time, members of the committee, we're going to consider Section 300 footnotes, amendments. And Don, do you have something to say here?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, just for the committees, so they can follow along, we're at the bottom of page 11 on your handout of Section 300s. This includes all of the Section 300s that are either staff technical issues or governor's recommendations. There are a couple of them that involve agency requests that were not in the governor's letters. In addition, as we walk through this, if the chairman desires, I will mention a couple of you have come to me with a request for a Section 300, and I will see if or jog your memory, see if you're still interested in discussing that.
Okay. So the first Section 300 footnote that I wish to move is to move $37,500 for the capital renovation and restoration for fiscal year 37 million dollars. $37,500,000 for the first year. That'd be June 30th, 2015, and July or June.
Mr. Chairman,
July 1st,
where is
2016.
That?
It's not in here. I'd move that we include that and.
I'd second that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
And is that, Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, that's two payments?
That's two payments.
From June and June of each year.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
37.5. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's carried. Don, do we need to start then on the bottom of page 11?
Mr. Chairman, that one was addressed in the governor's letter, and okay. I think it was amended, so you've addressed that one. The next
right.
one is Section 303 at the top of page 12, and I have circulated. There's two sections in this, one for Colorado River litigation carryover funds and a second for Yellowstone River Compact carryover funds. I have circulated a update that the Attorney General's office is requesting in the highlighted language to settle a suit with Montana to conclusion.
Members of the committee, I had discussion with the Attorney General's office with regards to the Yellowstone River Compact litigation. that thing is pretty much winding down. The special master has pretty much ruled in favor of Wyoming. However, in the event there would be some need to throw some money at a settlement, this highlighted language would at least allow them the flexibility. It's no more not to exceed $100,000. The Attorney General says it's not even going to be close to that, if at all. And so he just needs that flexibility while we're gone to be able to finalize that litigation. Committee, what's your pleasure? It's the Yellowstone River Compact.
Mr. Chairman, we've got the Section 303 on both, and then we've got the other page. So what do you want us to deal with here?
Well, I basically
no.
This would be an amendment to the second paragraph of Section 303, carryover appropriations.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, according to the way I read this, this is $1 million that would not revert.
That's current, Don?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, those are funds that were appropriated in 2008, and they do not actually have authority to continue expending from those funds, so they're asking for permission to expend from the 08 appropriation and not revert it until the end of this biennium. It is no new funds. It will not impact the profile, but it is a request to use old funding arguably you could say these funds should have reverted on July or June 30th of this year, 2014. They did not, and the Attorney General's office is requesting an extension for the use of those funds.
Well, Mr. Chairman, he's asking for an extension of the funds actually for another year and a half to June 30, 2016. And if this is winding down and it's not even going to be $100,000, I'm trying to figure out why we don't want that $1 million to revert.
I'm not sure how much of it they expended, but so I don't think that there is a full amount of $1 million just laying out there. This litigation has been going on for quite some time.
Mr. Chairman, one of you might have taken notes on this. It's in the language is also in Agency 15, page 5. My notes indicate that $186,000 is left in that account.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If $186,000 is left in that account, is that what applies to the update here? So they want to keep that $186,000, and they're saying that any settlement probably won't exceed $100,000? And so they're referring to that $186,000?
Mr. Chairman, that's my understanding. And they may have some attorney's expenses, supplies, travel, et cetera, in the wrapping up of this suit, which would be not impacted by the $100,000, but might go over that. At least that's how it was explained to me.
Mr. Chairman, do you want that section moved by itself, or do we want to deal with the Colorado River litigation, too?
Well, I would move that we amend Section 303 to include the revised paragraph pertaining to Yellowstone River Compact, and if that's approved, then we'd move the whole Section 303.
Mr. Chairman, so move.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. Discussion? All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. We're now back on the amendment, the total Section 303. Committee, what's your pleasure? Motion? I guess we have to have a motion to approve Section 303.
Motion to approve.
Okay. Second? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's carried. We're now on Section 308. Don.
Mr. Chairman, this was a carryover from Section 167 requested by the University Medical Residency Practice. You'll recall yesterday you added a footnote that would allow additional flexibility in their 100 series to hire contract personnel. And this is the language that that footnote refers to. Currently only, I believe, the Department of Health has this flexibility, and the university could have the flexibility and would have to report on a quarterly basis to this committee.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, move 308.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor of Section 308, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Section 308 has been adopted. We're now in Section 328. And Don, interrupt me if there's something where somebody wanted to, where we get to a spot. This is,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just to clarify, and you adopted this yesterday, no further action is needed. There was a governor's letter that also provided this similar flexibility in the 100 series to the Department of Corrections. So that will appear in this same footnote. You approved it yesterday.
Okay.
There was a request for additional funding in Section 316. However, I see the requester is not here, so Section 3. So I won't bring that one up.
Okay. All right. So snooze, you lose. Okay, so we're at Section 330 then? Don?
Mr. Chairman, I'll bring this up vaguely again. The governor struck Section 323 he vetoed it as part of the 2014 legislation. The committee adopted a section that limited salary increases, limiting the amount of funds that agencies could use to increase state employees' salaries. I understood that there might be some interest in revisiting that. Perhaps only with the governor's approval can agencies shift those funds around and give salary increases.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yeah, I asked Don to bring this back again. I'd like to make another run at it. We had a pretty blanket statement last year, and we go through all these agencies. You can see that folks just kind of start ratcheting their salary up, and it gets rolled forward, and it's called the creep, is what I call it. I mean, it just starts creeping. And so we put that in there as vetoed. I think if we came back with a little different language, that it had to be only on governor's approval. So then he's going to have to approve all these. And somebody's got to be responsible, I think, if we're going to allow these. Unless, you know, there's another way we can write it. So that's my motion on that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, is this something we don't have in front of us?
Right.
Okay.
So let's make sure everybody understands what we're doing here.
Mr. Chairman, it's a conceptual amendment, but something to the effect of no funds appropriated in this act shall be used to increase budgeted salaries of authorized state employees other than for explicit appropriations by the legislature, personnel transfers between programs or agencies authorized by law, or upon the governor's approval, or and upon the governor's approval. Something to that.
All right. Discussion. Question on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's a section 323, I believe it is. Okay. In fairness to Senator Hastert, you had something you wanted to do. We've already kind of blown by section 316. Did you have something you wish to propose? Okay, thank you. All right. So now are we on section 330? Done.
Mr. Chairman, section 330 was the original appropriation for the Gillette Madison project from AML funds, as well as AML funds supporting the Orphan Wellsite program and solid waste hazardous waste division of the Department of Environmental Quality and Air Quality. Those funds were not provided by the executive branch of the federal government, and you have identified other funds to support those programs. So the suggestion by staff is to line item that appropriation out in the event AML funds become available through congressional action during the interim while you're gone. It would avoid double appropriating those programs.
Okay. Motion. Yes. A motion. Is there a second? And then I'll get you reference.
Yes,
okay.
Second.
Representative Greer.
So just so I'm clear, that the AML out of the helium legislation, I got waylaid again, but they think we might be able to get that back this spring, hopefully. Do we want to take that 12, or actually, I guess, yeah, well, it is a $12 million, and stick it somewhere? Or where does that go? Is it in there?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Don, and I think in that paragraph A, it just holds it at DEQ, is that right, until we appropriate it? So the idea is not to double fund these initiatives here if they show up.
Okay, I understand. So it'll just be held at DEQ, then we'll come back
that's
in.
That's my understanding.
Next budget and figure out where it's appropriate to.
All right. Question, are you ready for the question? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted Section 330. Section 331, done.
Mr. Chairman, this was a proposal from the university that the governor recommended, so this is a Gov's rec, for their high bay facility. They use a combination of funds, prior appropriations to the College of Engineering, a new appropriation of general funds, which you approved yesterday, and then they have two sweeps of money that was previously appropriated to the University of Wyoming for rare earth research. Part of that was general funds, $250,000, and then the remaining portion of that was AML funds. I believe that was in the amount of $300,000. This would accomplish the governor's recommendation.
Okay. Is there a motion? Senator?
No.
We've done part
Mr. Chairman.
Of it, moved and seconded.
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, answer Representative Burns' question. I brought this up yesterday and was told to wait. So I would ask us to resist this on the rare earths. I've had a discussion with the university, accompanied them to the Center for Advanced Energy Studies over at the Idaho National Laboratory, and I think they've determined that there is a lot of research currently available that they can participate in. And this money would help with that research, especially in the area of value-added products. I think it's still valid. I think we have an understanding with them now. A number of people that were involved in this early on have left the university. The current people are more interested in it. And I would further amend that these monies be administered through the School of Energy Resources, which is actually a good match for some of the work they're doing on catalysts and energy production.
Okay. Mr. Co-Chairman.
Just again, Representative Burkhardt, is there a second? I'll second it.
It's been seconded.
Okay,
been
I'm
seconded.
Sorry. Thank you. You said it. Tell me again and then the amount of money that the total amount.
Mr. Chairman, there's a $250,000 match that's only available if it's matched, and there is $320,000, is my recollection, that is previously appropriated AML funds that did not revert, that they were allowed to use from the budget session. So there's roughly $570,000 there for this research.
Yes, Representative Greer.
Yeah, and so I'm having bad memory issues here. Some of that money was for like a business plan development or to help with business models. Some of it was matching funds. Some of it was for studies. Is that the right group of funds that I'm thinking of?
Mr. Chairman, yes. This goes back through two budgets. The first budget was for the studies, and then the second budget was to apply those studies to applied and basic research. So they met the requirements of the first appropriation. We let the AML funds carry over, and then last budget added in the $250,000 with a requirement to match it.
Mr. Chairman, so the effect then, if we adopt Governor Burkhardt, thank you. If Governor Ross would allow me to adopt Governor Burkhardt's, and then maybe Governor Greer would also vote for it. Mr. Chairman, we're all getting a little punchy here, but Representative Burkhardt's motion, then we'd have to come up with $570,000 for the high bay. Is that? That's basically the swap that's trying to go on. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman. That's correct. They wanted to sweep this money into the high bay facility rather than leave it where it was originally intended by the legislature.
So if we adopt the proposed footnote where we sweep the money, then the high bay we know what we have. But if we adopt Governor Representative Burkhardt's golly. Representative Burkhardt's motion, we will need to come up with another $570,000 in general fund or other sources. Is that right, Doc?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Okay. Just so.
Okay. Further discussion. So all those in favor?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Yes.
What? Two questions. What's the money being used for right now? And I don't understand the amendment. The amendment is to replace it with $570,000 from somewhere?
Mr. Chairman, the money is currently there available for research. As I said, university has joined the Center for Advanced Energy Studies, which is the three state schools in Idaho plus the Idaho National Laboratory, which gives them access to a tremendous research facility to do this research. And that facility is currently putting in a lab dedicated to rare earths research. So it allows Wyoming to have access there. They've completed their studies, but they have not yet started any actual research on the materials. They testified before us in December of what they were doing. And during the trip to the Idaho National Laboratory, I think the School of Energy Resources determined that there's a lot of synergy there between what they're doing in the area of catalysts specifically for oil and natural gas production to work on. So I think at this point they're waiting for some direction from us, whether they keep the money or it goes away. On the other side, to answer your other question, the amendment is to leave it as is, which means, as Chairman Harshman said, we have to come up with $570,000 from another source and not sweep it into that high bay facility.
Mr. Chairman, so it's not an amendment. It's actually urging to vote against.
Correct.
Okay,
Mr.
Thank
Chairman.
You. That's where I got confused.
Yeah. Thank you.
Representative Stubson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, though I'm not sure that's the correct characterization either, because there's a chunk in here that does sweep from CO2. So there's a chunk here that the good representative's amendment does not impact, because the Section M is the sweeping of, can't remember how much is left in the CO2 funds, but.
Well, then if we're going to do this, then we're going to have to find that other money.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we also have to figure out how much of this money goes to the CO2 sequestration research.
Don?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, paragraph M is roughly $2.4 million of CO2 sequestration research, which was unused, and the university and the governor are recommending that those funds be moved from CO2 to the high bay construction facility. Paragraphs roughly E and F relate to a total of $570,000 and are the subject of Representative Burkhardt's motion.
So to clarify the motion, then, you're not seeking to strike all or deny all of the Section 331, just paragraphs E and F. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, and also paragraph C, to not strike that or add that word in. So it affects paragraphs C, E, and F.
Okay. That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Okay. Any further discussion on the proposed amendment to section, it's not even an amendment, it's just, I guess it is an amendment, to the Gov's rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That's been adopted. Okay. Yes. I think we have to. No, it'd be Gov's rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Before we take. So, if we're voting on it just as amended, then we've got a $570 hole in the funding of High Bay that we still have not addressed.
That's correct.
And. Okay.
Want to take that from 2015?
Mr. Chairman, I think right now you've got the $570,000 hole, and I think there's some in.
Okay, and this would be the time.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make another motion on the The high bay is going to be, as we know, 570,000 short now, plus it's short another 4 million. It's different than the 4 million we moved yesterday, which was part of the engineering building. This 4 million is, my information is roughly 2 million on the exterior, and then 2 million, frankly, it's come in over. And so my recommendation, my motion, Mr. Chairman, is that we take that 4,570,000 and take that out of the engineering college construction budget.
Okay, discussion. So that would be a total of
Be 4,570,000 that we would take for the high bay research facility. That's separate than the 4 million we acted on yesterday. So if you want to add those together, that's 8,570,000. But this motion is the 4 million, and it's yesterday was pretty clear exactly. That's we're moving part of engineering over there. This is for some of the exterior work and then some of the it's cost overrun plus the 570 we just adopted.
Okay. Representative Stubbs.
So, Mr. Chairman, we're taking an additional, the additional four, the whole amount, 4.57 or whatever, out. So, I mean, essentially, are we just pushing this down the road then until they come back to us for the $4.5 million next time that they need to make up for what we're doing right now?
That's correct. And at some point in time, we'd have to make up the money to the engineering school.
You know, Mr. Chairman, it's hard to answer that. I assume so. I don't know how where we're at on our maximum guaranteed price on engineering building. I don't know if we're even there yet, are we? And so I don't know that. But I would think so. I mean, that's the way I kind of see it. But I think that's a pretty big chunk of money that is still not got a guaranteed maximum price on it, I think.
Correct.
So it's still not a number. That number could very well be lower than what we've appropriated. Could be higher.
Okay. Any further discussion? We have a motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion has been adopted. Okay. GovRec as amended. I was just making some notes. GovRec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Section 340.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
There are a couple between here and there.
Okay.
One is just a point of information. It really requires no action by the committee, but last year, This committee inserted the Section 300 regarding the Department of Corrections North facility in Rawlins. I believe it was Representative Baker, yes, who worked on that. And you put a provision in there that says those funds cannot be expended until April of this year, which gave this body one more chance to revisit anything. I've heard no interest in doing that, but I wanted to bring to your attention that now's kind of your last chance if you...
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, the Department of Corrections did do a report, I recall, as required by this footnote, and investigated alternatives to, I think that the scenario was that they could bid it out and include the salvage costs within the contract expenses, and they have studied that, but they haven't spent any of the money yet.
Okay.
Moving on, that was just a point of information. On Section 334, one of the members had a potential revision to the Wyoming Value Added Energy and Industrial Plan. You'll recall last year you appropriated $17.275 million for a series of energy proposals. The prominent one was $15 million for a test center. And I believe there was an interest in using some of those funds potentially for sage grouse.
Mr. Chairman?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, and I have two packets of amendments, so I don't know if what everybody has. I copied mine and gave anything I was thinking about to the House.
I don't have
earlier
that.
This week, but Mr. Chairman, there's in this there's $1 million that's in the governor's kind of energy policy that's not been spent, or a little bit that's been spent. And so, Mr. Chairman, and really, again, it's brought to me by members of industry and in this business. And so my amendment is to take $750,000 of that money that's already been appropriated and propose to spend it, really set it up another task force that the governor would set up. We had all these task forces in the industrial plan, the Wyoming Value Added Energy and Industrial Plan, and add another task force on to set up a task force on the viability of breeding sage grouse. And I know we've talked about this. We passed the statute, I think, in 2009, having Game and Fish amend their rules to do this. And so that this $750,000 then would, $25,000 would cover costs of meetings of the task force. So that takes it down to $725,000. That $725,000 all has to be matched by non-state sources. And it's really two parts now, the $725,000 that's left. And you think of the XPRIZE we did for CO2 capture. So it's divided up into two parts. The $225,000 is divided three ways, 75, 75, and 75. And that all has to be matched. And this is seed money to kind of help get certain proposals that are selected by the task force as viable to give them seed money to begin the research. And then at the end of this time period, we push it out to 2019, and the $500,000 that has to also be matched would, in fact, be the XPRIZE. And if the task force feels that it's been accomplished and is a success, would have the ability to award that with the governor's approval. So it's really modeled after what we did with the XPRIZE on CO2, but this requires 100% match on the seed money, the setup, and then also a match on the prize itself. And I don't sit around dreaming this stuff up at night. I mean, this is brought when your constituents, like all of us, bring us problems out there, and there's folks in the industry, the energy industry, that think this thing hasn't been given a fair shake, that hasn't gotten past certain levels of state government. And so to really kind of get more people involved in the university, folks in the wildlife industry, folks that the governor would pick to lead this, and legislators would be on the task force, to really examine this and see if maybe there is possible to incentivize this to get out. There's people in our state say they can do it. There's other people say they can't. But I think we ought to, this is probably the number one risk to our energy industry in the state. And I know it's kind of taken the back burner since the Republican-controlled Senate has put a halt to any rulemaking with dollars. So we've got a little reprieve right now. So that's my proposal. And if I get a second, I'd stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Discussion. Representative Nicholas and then Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Governor Harshman. I've got a couple different issues on it, but in order to address this, I've asked Mr. Budd, who's on the Sage-Grouse Initiative Task Force, to look at it and to come up and just provide us a little bit of background knowledge on the prior attempts to rear or to raise sage grouse in captivation, what the problems are with it, what's been tried before. For example, the Calgary Zoo just finished a program spending $2.5 million in order to raise birds in captivity, and it's my understanding that they all died within 7 months except for two birds, in using the best practices that are out there. I know that just from my practical bats experience that they tried to do this with the Gunnison sage grouse. They tried to do it with sage grouse in Idaho, And there's some other instances where they've done a lot of work to try to do this. But if with the privilege of the committee, I'd just like to have Mr. Budd answer or just get some background information in it to address this. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but I think we need to have all the facts in front of us before we kind of make that determination.
Okay. Mr. Budd, would you like to address the committee?
Make sure and use a mic.
There's two switches.
All right. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there are a few things. And first of all, let me say, I'm not going to tell you it can or cannot happen.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob Budd, Chairman, Sage Grouse Implementation Team for the state. Whether or not it may work, I'm not an expert on that, and I have no idea that it might or might not. The issues that I have shared with Representative Nicholas are many, but they are diverse. The first one is the previous efforts to do this have unilaterally failed, and that is something that we have to recognize. Now, there may be a way to do it that it works better, and that's fine. The second issue, perhaps one of the more important ones, is that ultimately, the decision to list sage grouse as endangered or not will not come down to putting birds into the wild. It will not even be based on populations. It will be based on the amount of habitat available and the trends over time of those birds continuing to occupy those habitats. That's doubly complicated by the fact that many of the areas in Wyoming that have sage grouse currently are at or near the carrying capacity for what the birds there can do. You can add more birds, but ultimately only so many will survive the winter. Ultimately only so many will be successful in nesting. So you could get in a situation where you're putting extra birds out. The reason that works with pheasants is because we harvest those birds and it's done primarily for sport purposes. Another concern that I've raised is that we have avian flu is back in the United States. It's been detected in the state of Washington and the state of Utah, both of which have sage-grouse populations. As you're well aware, any time you concentrate a species that is vulnerable to a disease and have them in one place, the risk vector for disease is heightened. Disease currently is not ranked as a threat to sage-grouse in the Fish and Wildlife analysis. Should we have those birds penned in captivity and end up with avian flu, that would actually create a vector that has currently been dismissed as something of a risk. And I suggested some language that would address that if you choose to move forward with this. There are a couple other issues I would just raise. One is, as we are now moving and making headway toward a not warranted decision by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, in some ways, to go out and start raising birds would actually be a signal of weakness. It would be something to say that we, the state, believe that there aren't enough, and consequently, that would be another thing that would be analyzed by the service, and I have a real concern with that. That much said, if the choice is made to proceed with the amendment, there really is no need for a separate task force. Last year, you'll recall Representative Stubson and others sponsored a bill which statutorily created the Wyoming Sage-Grouse Implementation Team. It's made up of representatives of industry, of all of the affected parties, as well as the agencies. It operates in a public setting like any other agency. We have already got a committee, a subgroup in that, working on this issue. That's chaired by Senator Hicks, who is a member of that group, along with Representative Brown. So I would urge you to look at Section Q and use the group that's out there today as the vehicle to do the analysis should you choose to do so. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. That's kind of the
questions?
High points.
Thank you, Mr. Budd.
Just a quick question, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
If I could, Bob. Bob, thanks. Appreciate the info. And then, so who are all the members, who are the legislators on the implementation team? And then who, just kind of, can you give us a rundown of the membership?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The members from the legislature are Speaker Brown and Senator Hicks. There is one member each from the House and the Senate. The remaining members, the majority of members are non-governmental folks. We have two from agriculture, two from oil and gas, two from mining, county commissioners, transmission and solar or and wind power, the appropriate agencies of both state and federal government, but it's a broad-based coalition and two environmental groups. So it's a broad-based coalition. The committee is 26 people now from all around the state, and they are appointed by the governor and reappointed as well should they choose to do that. It's a group that's diverse enough to represent those interests, and I believe that's the appropriate group to handle.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, then Bob just had another question. How many sagegrouse do we harvest each year? Do you know that number from your
work? Mr. Chairman, this is a ballpark. I think we
couple
did
thousand.
About 6,000 last
6,
year, comparatively what we used to do. The harvest numbers are way down because we've reduced the air, and we've also closed areas to hunting, changed the season, the time of the season, so that it's not as attractive as it once was when I was a kid. But it was about 6,000 to 7,000, I think, last year.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Manny, what's your pleasure?
And just to follow up, then, and Chairman Harshman, I just sent you an email, which is language that Mr. Butt, taking your version, if you have a minute to peek at it, that basically directs the money, creates the, sends it to the Sage Grouse Implementation Team to basically administer and make the recommendations on it. So just so you have language to look at, but to the body, you know, to it would be a wonderful idea if this could work. I don't know that this is, number one, I don't think that the governor necessarily wants this much coming out of the Wyoming value added and industrial plan, because this is not a Wyoming value added industrial plan component. It ought to be its own entity. And so to me, it doesn't make sense to take funds out of there. We're creating another fund right shortly that's going to be proposed to put money into there. And if anything, why don't I take the money and stick it over there, then, as opposed to for the sage grouse. But if we do, I would just recommend that we modify it conceptual terms towards what Mr. Budd has just proposed.
So, and Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, so I opened that email, Representative Nicholas, and Bob, I see that basically not setting up another task force, just directing this concept to your group is what you'd like to see. And Representative Nicholas, I'd consider that friendly. I mean, I just want to get this concept, get moving on this, and try to incentivize it with competition.
All right. So we have a friendly amendment to the proposed amendment. Any further discussion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to figure out what this amendment, how much money is involved in this amendment, because we have nothing written down over here.
$750,000, $25,000 for meeting costs. The balance is to be matched.
That's correct.
And, Mr. Chairman, where's that money coming from?
Mr. Chairman, there's $1 million in,
Absolutely.
Like, energy strategy hasn't been spent. When we made that large amendment last year and pulled all these various initiatives we've been doing, frankly, on this committee for about the last 10 years and created the Wyoming Value Added Energy and Industrial Plan, set forth several task forces. So part of that, well, there was $1 million set for governor's energy strategy, or I think it's in here. I can find it. But anyway, it hasn't been spent. So I didn't want to come with any new money on this. I wanted to find some money that wasn't being used and put it to work.
Okay. So does everybody understand the motion? Anybody wish to address the motion? Hearing nothing further.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, but having been on TRW, I've been keeping up on what Sage Grouse does, and I'm still trying to figure out exactly what the expenditure of this money accomplishes that we haven't already accomplished, or that we're not in the process of doing now. There is time and again, as Mr. Budd pointed out, they have tried to raise Sage Grouse in captivity. That would actually be the silver bullet, but it hasn't been able to be done because sage grouse are such primitive birds. So I'm trying to figure out exactly what this $750,000 accomplishes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, if I can answer that. Really, it takes a different approach. It provides competition, just like we did with the XPRIZE, and
is that we haven't want to find a way to capture CO2 out of our coal plants to save those, that industry. And so we're trying to come up with new information, a new, new science, a new way to do it, discover something new. And so I don't think we can just say it hasn't been done, so it never will be done. And a lot of times competition is really the way to fuel that. And so that's what it tries to do, just kind of copies what we did last year with the CO2 sequester and capture.
So, okay. Mr. Chairman, the prize would be $750,000?
Total of $1,500 if it's matched.
Mr. Chairman? Actually, the prize would be half of it's the $500,000 match. So the prize would be $1 million, up to $1 million.
Okay. I think I saw a hand over here. Was it? Yes, Representative Conley.
Mr. Chair, thanks. And Mr. Co-Chair, I'm curious about the requirement for the match. Is the expectation that if an energy industry is interested in sage grouse, that they would put forth the money, and that's what your hope and expectation is?
Exactly. If it's not matched, it doesn't happen.
Okay.
Any further? All right. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the proposed section 334, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. That has failed. Okay.
Can we just have a show of hands on that?
Sure. All those in favor, say aye. Raise your hand. Whoa.
6-7, by golly.
All right, I should have spoke more. All right, I guess it did pass.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question. I voted on the amendment for the amendment. Is that what we all did?
No, we just...
We voted on the whole shebang because the amendment to the amendment was recognized as a friendly amendment.
That wasn't an amendment.
Huh?
Okay, as long as that's what we voted on.
Well, as long as you're, unless you'd like to revisit, having voted on the prevailing side.
I do not. I just wanted to make sure that the sponsor of the amendment was in favor of the amendment.
Yeah, he had recognized that as a friendly amendment. Okay. So, on to the next one, which is...
Mr. Chairman?
There's another conceptual, I guess.
There is another conceptual amendment on Section 331 with respect to Heartland. And,
Mr. Chairman, I'm working on... I have it as paragraph X in my copy. You might have it in something different. Is that? Are you talking about the savings account? So I won't reference. Mr. Chairman, I'd like $5 million from the July 2016 contingency. $5 million be deposited into a newly created industrial park savings account.
Okay.
Off of the 2016 contingency.
Okay. Is there a discussion? Mr. Co-Chair?
Mr. Chairman, I think, it's an important concept, and it's not going to be accomplished in one budget cycle or even multiple, but I think it's like all these things, whether it's Gillette Madison or state facilities or all those things, you got to start somewhere. And things as small as the Corbett Pool, I mean, you got to get them started in the budget and create an account. And hopefully commodity prices in return and things happen. But just because we're a little counter-cyclical, being so dependent on the energy industry, I don't think you can stop these initiatives. And in fact, times when our minerals are down, I think it's important to show that, we're committed to these things. And so, again, it kicks it off and gets a starting point with a small savings account.
Okay. Questions?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Greer.
The thought occurs to me, I agree with what our co-chair said. We're serious about this. We better start saving and chipping away at it. We have, and I was just looking at, I just can't remember all the bill numbers. Minerals passed a bill, which is one of the, I think it was actually one of the governor's initiatives, regarding, I'll just call it a tolling piece of legislation that was to help, like on a gas to liquids facility, to stabilize the inputs and then guarantee a portion of the output. Memory serves me correctly, there was like a $15 million guarantee on that that may not be utilized. And that bill did pass the House Minerals Committee this morning. So we should be seeing it on the floor. What I'm trying to get to is maybe leave that open, because I firmly believed an anchor to any type of industrial park is going to be some sort of coal or gas or liquids facility. And that may help us in our planning with the budget and also tying this together, if anybody followed me on that.
Didn't.
Mr. Chairman?
I didn't follow you.
Yeah. I've noticed that look a lot over my career. No, not from the co-chair, from other people. not from the chairman. So there's a piece of legislation that's coming in, and it's an economic piece of business economic development legislation, but it's also got its fingers tied into this Heartland project. And what it is it's a design to be able to help with the financing of these gas to liquids facilities, which I think a lot of us believe will be the anchor to a Heartland project here in Wyoming. And how that legislation works, it's been a while since I looked at it, but that legislation works by, we'll guarantee an input price of natural gas. We'll lock it in, and then what happen, and then on the downside, we're going to guarantee or purchase a portion of the diesel fuel. And so what all we're trying to do with that is we're helping with input prices. We're going to help with some of the output prices. And what that does is allow these companies to be able to go out and get their financing in place, because they know they've taken out some of the market risk. A bill passed House Minerals. We're going to be seeing it. And my recollection was is that it was like up to $15 million that the state would be putting in for a guarantee. May never have to do it. May never have to go to that full $15 million. So while Chairman Harshman is chipping away for a Heartland project, I would like to have us consider dovetailing that savings account into also tying in with that tolling legislation should it get passed. And I don't know if now's the right time, but I just wanted to throw that out there. And I'll look for the House bill. As everybody in this room is probably a little behind on their reading.
So we any further discussion on the proposal to Section 331, Heartland, Paragraph X, which would take $5 million from the 2016 contingency and create a savings account? Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That is passed. All right. Any more conceptuals before we get to Section 340?
Mr. Chairman, I believe there is. Section 335 set up early childhood programs and a study. I think there was some interest in revisiting that section to have the Departments of Health and Education report on the possibility of transferring the administration of preschool parts B and C from the Department of Health to the Department of Education, if the member is still interested.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and really this amends a section we passed, right, Don? That's how. So it's not an appropriation of any money, but really it's part of this report. And this whole study of early childhood, we want to make sure part of this study is the best way to administer the program. And I know Senator Perkins and Senator Hastert, we keep hearing, and the representatives who've been on this committee, we're the only state in the union that administers the Part B and C like we do. And I don't know which is the best way. I thought about running a bill, and I thought, let's get all those folks so it really we're going to, and this requires then that, and it's got the list of health department, education, workforce services, everybody who's involved in this, part in their meetings that they're currently meeting on this early childhood study. This has got to be one of their, come back with a recommendation. Maybe what we're doing is fine. Just leave it alone. But we always hear from certain directors that say, I would love not to have this in my agency. I don't know. So I'd like them to get them all around, and when they're talking, they're all around the table right now talking about this issue. Let's add this administrative piece to it. That's all it does. There's no money.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Senator Perkins. Just to visit, some of the newer members may not be aware of this, but ultimately what the Part A and B in the preschool is actually administered, if I remember right, it's administered as though it's in the same manner which the school district is. Isn't that right, I think, Mr. Chairman?
I think Representative Stubson kind of, it's Part B and C.
Sort of
he's
that.
Kind of our house side health guy on this, but.
But certainly, but anyway, I think that what I do remember specifically is that when you talk about it, it's mostly about, it's about a significant part of it about education. It's getting ready for education, and we've got that now is in the Department of Health, and they struggle with it, and they have to, you know, ultimately I think they have to get some additional help from folks from the education side to make it work right. And so this would help look and see if this is the best way to do it or not. I mean, it may or may not be the right thing. It's certainly not to move, to change the program, reduce the program, or eliminate the program, but it's about where is it best fitted and where can it be best administered, and the kids, which are the important part, where the kids can be helped most effectively. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the sentiment behind the amendment, but I'm not sure. The comment was made that we're looking at this already, but really this is a different animal than what they're saying. They're studying early childhood education programs separate and apart from the DD. The DD has not been a part of this up to this point, and workforce services, family services have no dog in the fight on DD, yet they're involved in this this task force. And my one concern is, frankly, I don't want the Department of Health and Department of Education telling us how it should be administered. I want other folks to have a seat at the table, including those programs that participate in the funding, those that receive services. I think all that needs to be involved in any recommendation of where it ends up. And I'm just I know there's conversation now about having this as an interim topic for health and labor. I'm in my opinion, that's the better part to have it, because that can involve a wider conversation than is contemplated by this amendment.
Okay. Y'all ready? All those in favor of the proposed Section 300 to, amendment to Section 335, say aye. Opposed?
No.
That's failed. All right. Don, is there anything further before we get to Section 340?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe so. The first, and from here forward, they're all Section 340 because they're all adding on to last year's bill, mm-hmm. which ended with Section 339. So the first one I have is the governor's recommendation for the funding of the University of Wyoming Engineering Building. And I would bring to your attention on paragraph B, Romanet I, top of page 18 of your handout, we will have to revise those numbers to account for the prior motion for the high bay. I think we just moved $4 million.
Right.
But this essentially authorizes the expenditure of the funds for the engineering building. I also noted at the bottom of this, in December, the JADC discussed whether or not to include an additional constraint on the appointment of a new College of Engineering dean. I believe one was appointed this week.
Okay. Gov's rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just so I understand, that was that vote on just Romanet 1?
No.
That was on all the way down to...
All the way through.
To the gap reversion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Gap reversion. Don.
Mr. Chairman, this is just a technical point. Back in 1993, the legislature appropriated funding from the gap reversion to the executive branch to pay for the cost of accrued sick leave and annual leave, particularly for small agencies that could not afford that. The concern has come up this summer that those funds have no legal authority to continue, not unlike the Yellowstone Compact funds or the Department of Education funds, which you have carried forward. And those funds would be eligible for carry forward or something else as the legislature decides. In hindsight, I think the comments here go too far in terms of staff. What I really should say is those funds are out there. It is not clear as to where they should be placed, meaning there is no authority to spend those funds, yet agencies continue to spend those funds. So at minimum, I think some clarity, either giving the agencies authority to spend those funds or direct them otherwise, would be appropriate.
Okay. So as I understand the proposal, though, it would have those funds reverted at this point in time, unless we choose a different option.
Mr. Chairman, that's the way the language is written, but you could equally write it as carryover and just give them the authority. But I think it should be resolved one way or the other.
Okay. Gov's rec? Is this Gov's rec?
No, Mr. Chairman, this is not a governor's rec.
This is LSO rec.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Move it as written.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is a joint subcommittee on economic development. You may recall in the interim, the Management Council assigned 3 members of the Joint Appropriations Committee to join 3 members of the Minerals Committee. They met up in Powell this summer, and they did initial work in the programs of the Business Council. That committee has requested that it continue, and members of the prior JAC requested it would continue. This one does come with an appropriation, as you'll see in subsection F, for $10,000.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That joint subcommittee, section 300 is passed.
Mr. Chairman, the next one comes to from a number of members of JAC as well as leadership. It would set forth the school finance recalibration process. This is similar, although not identical, to the recalibration that occurred 5 years ago. It also includes an appropriation of $60,000 on page 21, subsection E, and identifies who would participate in that recalibration process.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Uh-huh.
Move as written.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have an amendment. Down at A3, it has two members of the – there's 5 members from each house appointed. This has 2 of them have to be Democrats, and I would just move that to 1 to make it – because – given the makeup of the legislature, all the Democrats are going to be on all the committees, and it kind of limits the ability to have Republicans on a lot of the committees, that giving an equal disbursement of representation.
Okay. Is there a second to that amendment? Okay. So it modifies paragraph Romanet 3. Takes it to 1.
And I would move it that up to 2 as opposed to at least. That way, if you really want to, you can have 2, but you don't have to have 2.
Up to 2 members from each house. Well, will be... What?
Well, 1 or 2 that you picked on.
What?
Well, it would be 1 or 2. I mean, huh? Whatever the appropriate grammatical phrase is for.
Mr. Chairman, I think he's describing not less than 1 member and up to 2 members shall be.
Okay. All right. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Should that not also then be, should we list that as endangered species or not?
Okay. All right. We have an amendment. We're on the amendment to section to school finance recalibration, Romanet 3. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That amendment's been adopted. We're back on the original motion, which is to approve now as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That has been adopted. Higher education matching funds.
Mr. Chairman, we actually have another one.
Okay.
Potentially premature, but I'll just mention this to the committee. But this would be the spot for a placeholder if you wish to address any of the total costs of the capital building renovation. You could put that in here. Right now it's capped at $259 million. We could revise that at this time, or maybe it's premature.
We might as well do it. I'll make the motion.
Okay.
And insert the current figure of the current, which is?
Well, it's another 27 point something. You have to get that from.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I believe it's $27.7 million, and there's that $1.5 million, candidly, that's in dispute, which is the movement of ETS.
ETS has been taken care of.
Their second year has. The $1.5 million from the first year has not.
Mr. Chairman, I would just suggest we still don't have a final number. We won't tell June, so I would just suggest we make it $30 million, and so that if it comes in higher or lower, there's a little bit of fudge factor in it. Because the fact is, we need to make room for fudge factor because we just don't know. So,
Mr. Chairman, it should be $290.
$290 is fine.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed?
No.
That's been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is also not on your list. There was some interest in looking at the campus or the Department of Workforce Services that's located in Casper. This came up in discussions with the Department of Administration and Information regarding the sale of the existing state buildings and purchase of land or construction of a new complex.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, it's just it's about there's three office buildings in downtown Casper. They're very old. Two of them sandwich a historic bar on Center Street. There's a state plan out there to replace them, but I guess there's been a lot of talk. There is some movement, I think, but this basically I would like them to bring a report back to this committee by next fall, and how they're going to accommodate the folks that are in those three buildings spread around downtown Casper, and what they're going to do with those facilities. What do they propose? A couple of them aren't, there will be no takers for them, so how do we dispose of those buildings? How does that work? And then just some ideas on that and summarize and come back with basically a report to us of what they've done and how much they think this is going to cost. And then I wrote in at least two possible sites for the location. I think they're looking at a couple spots downtown, but I guess I'd like us to have more information because it's going to be a big item out there. And I think we're going to need the information in this committee to kind of so we can make decisions. Kind of like what we've done with state health facilities, require the report to kind of come back to us so we can get educated on it. So that's my motion.
Okay. Who's preparing the report? And where does the report go to?
A&I does. A&I
will prepare a report. And where does the report? Representative Burkhart.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just a couple questions. There's a lot of various agencies have offices in Casper. Is the intent that all state agencies move into this one or two buildings or just Workforce Services?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
These three buildings downtown, they're three kind of smaller buildings. One's larger, but primarily workforce services. There's some other agencies in there, and then there's some scattered around town. I think the grand plan would be to kind of pull everybody together, but I think we want to look at all those options and let this committee kind of see what's being done out there and proposed. So, and Representative Stubson, I think, has some more info on this, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stubson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think maybe we can massage this a little bit more because I think the amendment almost takes us a step back because there really already is a comprehensive plan put together. There's been RFPs issued. They have identified exactly the agencies, and it's workforce services, it's Department of Family Services, it's corrections, and they've gone through and really done an analysis and looked at what agencies have the same clientele so that you can put, you don't have people bouncing all over town for different agencies. And based upon that analysis, they have a square footage, and in fact, just a little more background. Initially, they were going to lease a building, have a private party build a building, and then lease it because they thought they could use federal funds for that. That ended up not being the case, but out of that process, the building commission actually got a design schematic of exactly the building that would fit these agencies. And so they've now gone back to retool that, but they're in level – they've already approved level one and level two for that building. And so I know the proposed language you had out there had a requirement for some appraisals. And I think it would be, if you ask, and you can ask for, I think, by July 1st, even 2015, for a report on that plan and a report on anticipated disposal of those buildings. And they could probably have that to you next week. But it's pretty far down the road, and it's been done with input not only from the agencies, but people from the Downtown Development Authority, the Chamber of Commerce. We had several probably four or five broad scope meetings on this building and where it would be and that sort of thing. So what I don't want to see us do is kind of take a step back because I think all the information you want is there. It's probably all available right now, and I think we can have a report fairly quickly, not by October 1st.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Mr. Chairman, I think there's really two parts to this. I think we want to be involved in this process just like we would be in any state office facility in Cheyenne. I mean, we'd pick what site, and we'd be involved in it. And I think I don't think anybody else on this committee knows any of that. And we're going to be asked to make a substantial, and I don't. So I want the information. I want to know what it looks like. I want to know where it's going to go, and I think this committee ought to have some input on it. And then I think also, what are we going to do with those two buildings right on Center Street? Can those be converted to low-income housing? Can those be downtown apartments? I don't know. So I want some ideas, and I don't think they'll be able to get it to us next week on that. I'll give them some time to do it, but before we come together to put a budget together next year. So that's my plan, and so that's it. I'm not trying to slow anybody down. I want to get the information in this room.
Okay.
And, Mr. Chairman, I think that's entirely appropriate and something that this committee should do.
What would be I'm going to ask, if I may, a question of Representative Stubson. What would be the appropriate date for such a report? I think I've heard from a co-chair like October 1st, and you're suggesting July 1st.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, if it meets with the co-chair, if he would consider it friendly, I really do think they could have that information to us early on in the interim so that we can look at it and consider it. And
maybe in our CASPER meeting.
And make some decisions. Yeah, and in fact, might be able to look at some of the sites and those sorts of things.
Well, let's put July 1 on that then.
I don't think that should be any problem.
Okay.
And that would be part of our interim. We can check this out and see where it's at.
Okay.
Everybody knows then what we're looking at.
You understand, Don?
That's good. Appreciate it. So that's friendly, Mr.
All right.
Chairman.
All those in favor of the proposed Section 300 regarding the CASPER office complex report, available to us at our CASPER meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Anything further, Don?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. we have a few more.
Oh, my Lord. I got to get some more paper.
one member has looked into an issue in or near the Honor Farm whereby they are trying to sell a parcel from the Department of Corrections and repurchase similar ag land, and it may be not possible to have a one-to-one swap, so there is a request for $250,000 of general funds for the purchase and replacement necessary for the Department of Corrections to carry out its institutional mission at the Honor Farm.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion to for this $250,000, and if I can get a second, I'll explain a little bit. Second. Chairman, what you've got in Riverton has got a situation where it's landlocked, and they're really struggling on where they're going to grow and how they're going to grow. And so if you recall where the Honor Farm is, this is basically from the Walmart parking lot. If you head north towards the Honor Farm, it's those fields right in there. And so it's been, the point of this is to allow I think it's bounded on the north by Honor Farm Road, in fact. And so there's about, what is it, 290 acres? I don't remember, something like that. But anyway, what that does is to put that up for sale, so it'll be purchased, be sold and purchased by private developers, and then that money stays with the Department of Corrections so that they can go and buy alternative or substitute land to replace that land there. This 250 is probably won't be spent, because the likelihood that when you sell that off, that it'll be far in excess of, because it'll be sold off most likely as commercial development and some residential development, that it will far exceed what the price of farmland would be for that same amount. But nevertheless, make sure that the Department of Corrections, when it goes out to buy the replacement land, has adequate funds to do that.
There's something, Mr. Chairman, there's something really illogical about that. You're selling commercial property to buy replacement agricultural property. They should be able to go out and buy 1,000 acres. The property will go for four times what the ag property would go for. And if they move further north, the land gets cheaper and cheaper as you go. The question is how close you want to be to the existing Honor Farm. But if you guarantee $250,000 to the Honor Farm, then basically you're saying you can go ahead and sell it for below market value or buy something and pay too much for it. And I'm just going, well, just the logic of that doesn't make sense to me.
Senator Perkins. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand what you're saying. I think the likelihood that this isn't ever going to be sold, I think the footnote that we're talking about also puts a limitation on it, that when they go out, they can't, when they sell whatever acreage this is, it's 200-odd acres, and when they sell this, they can't go out and buy 5,000 acres, you know, and use that money and then come and grab this 250. But only what it was, this addresses the concern of the Department of Corrections that he'd be held harmless in this whole process. Like I say, the likelihood I think this 250 is ever spent is probably fairly remote, but nevertheless, this was an attempt to try and make sure that the Department of Correction, the director felt, made sure that he, when he went out to buy replacement land, that he can do so and that he doesn't come up short.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Representative Greer.
I just have a, 2 years ago, we passed the state institutional lands bill. Was this land? I thought the Honor Farm was included in that study, and then we had some limitations on where that land went. Now, I know that was a case for the boys' school, which is a different department in Worland, but I thought there was also the same that Honor Farm was in that legislation as well, and there were limitations on if you sold those lands, what you could do, and how those funds were managed. So I we just better make sure that this doesn't require the change of that bill.
Matt?
Mr. Chairman, Matt Obrecht, LSO, and Representative Greer's correct. Department of Corrections was included in that institutional land fund legislation. I believe it was in 2012 or 2013. But what that bill provided for was that if acquired institutional lands were disposed of, they would go into the institutional land account, and they could only be expended for the institutional mission of that agency. So that's what would happen in this instance.
So, Mr. Chairman, we've got there's enough. If this footnote were to go through, we're okay. There's enough leeway in that language. I know we fought over that quite a bit.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding, Representative Greer, that this comports completely and this proposed sale of the land with that bill.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Mr. Chairman, I'd feel more comfortable, I think, with this concept that it came before us in the interim, you know, maybe in our July meeting, and we sit down, corrections comes to us, we see maps, we know what we're looking at, and exactly kind of how this whole thing values out and what we're looking at before we, you know, dispose any of those lands. And I don't think it's an emergency situation where we got to act on it right away. I think we want to study that a little bit this summer, maybe.
Okay. Further discussion?
Well, and Mr. Chairman, I don't have any problem with the concept, but I just want to know a little bit more about it. And it seems to me we had a bill or something, and the SLIB board may have provided funds to Riverton in order to purchase part of it, and so on that parcel, there's some other history to it that I don't know, and I don't know if that affects it one way or the other, if it diminishes part of what they sell off. I just don't recall what all the facts are. I don't know, if Senator Perkins, if you know, but I've seen two or three other matters come down the pike in the last year all on this property. I'm trying to remember what they are.
Mr. Chairman, what I'll do is let's bypass this now, and I'll bring it back on Rand Ravel. There's maps, and we've got some. We can give you some aerials with marked out, and we'll do this back on the Rand Ravel, and I'll bring it back then.
Okay. Then withdrawn.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is there was a $50,000 appropriation in 2011 and 12 for the Energy Producing States Coalition. $20,000 of that $50,000 was expended. That appropriation did expire on June 30th, 2014, so there's no funds available to continue Wyoming's participation this interim with the Energy Producing States Coalition. One member at least has indicated an interest in providing funds. We've suggested $20 million for the balance of this biennium.
$20
million? Or, excuse me, $20,000.
$20,000?
You know, this issue, maybe I'm going to revisit that issue on how many years of math you're supposed to have.
Okay. Somebody like to move? So
move.
Moved?
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I have one other proposal.
Okay. Just a moment.
Just quickly. Is that $20,000? Would that be out of the immediate funds or the July 1st contingent?
Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Perkins is the right man to talk about.
My guess is, Mr. Chairman, I don't think that it makes any difference because we probably have sufficient liquidity in the LSO, in the legislative funds, that it won't make any difference. Don, is that correct?
So, Mr. Chairman, just move that. I'd motion to move that to the July 15.
Okay.
Contingent funding.
Chairman, quick question on that.
Yes.
So if I can ask Don, ultimately, if there is a meeting this spring, is there enough flex that we can attend?
Mr. Chairman, I think in that event, and if it's FY15 contingent funds, it would require a approval by Management Council to make that flex.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so the motion is to the $20,000 would be effective July 1, 2015. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? That's been adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
And I would move that if you recall, last year during the budget session, we passed a joint resolution to directing to the U.S. Teton State National Park folks that we would like to see a paved road and a bike lane on the Moose to Wilson Road, Highway 390. And so what I'd like to do to kind of put some teeth behind, not so much some teeth, but to show our continued support for that, is I would propose that we take $100,000 which has to be matched 2-to-1, so that would be the equivalent of $3,000 from private sources go towards the placement of a bike lane along there, and I would move it to July 1, 2016. So if we ever need the funds, we can come back and get them. But the point is, I'd like to put that out there and say, not only is a joint resolution, but we're going to help pay for part of this thing because we want this to happen. So I'd ask for a second on the motion.
Second.
And if any discussion, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
How much was that? $100,000?
$100,000.
Okay.
Just, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just we explain the genesis again. We had a joint resolution. That's what it was?
Correct. Last year we had a joint resolution which was passed unanimously by both houses that directed the National Park Service to reconsider and in our support of widening, or actually paving, the last portion of Highway 390, which is the Moose to Wilson Road, and putting in a bike lane along there. If you know, that's right now there's a bike lane that goes all the way around, and the only place there is no bike lane is part of that dirt road between Teton Village and the Teton Park entrance. And the park has vehemently been fighting that, although we do now have there is now a new park superintendent who's being a little bit more receptive to it. And it's my understanding that our resolution had a lot to do with opening doors and you know, frankly, getting the Park Service to be more open-minded about it. So now if we put a little bit of money behind it and match it 2-to-1, I mean, I don't know what you can do better with your dollars, saying we're going to put in $100,000 on this resolution that we firmly believe in, then it just helps promote the idea and the concept that the state of Wyoming still supports it.
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
Just so I understand, so we providing $100,000 would be matched by somebody else for another two for a total of three that we would be willing to pay the National Park Service for them to build a bike path.
Okay. Anything further? Ready for the question? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's passed. Anything further before we get to? I think we've already done high altitude training, have we not?
Mr. Chairman, I think you've done all of those. I have one more regarding use of previously appropriated match dollars for a graduate student scholarship program in the communications division or department within the University of Wyoming.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Conley.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that $50,000 of this unappropriated money that is in a kind of matching fund account at the university be used for this $50,000 donation to the Communications and Journalism Department that I just found out about. In fact, it's my understanding that the department doesn't even know about it yet. will now.
I'd second that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there a discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this was first brought to my attention by the Speaker and Representative Conley, and it's $50,000 from a professor for the communications for journalism graduate students. So over the last 10 years, we've appropriated a little over $90,250,000 to UW matches for academic programs. It's about $1,600,000. Most of that is probably, a lot of it's probably encumbered, but it shows a remaining amount there is still $1,600,000, but again, most of that is probably in the works. But I think it's been referenced to me that there's $50,000 worth that could be matched, so we could turn this into $100,000 for graduate students in the communication.
Okay.
So that's where the money would come from, the match. So it wouldn't be any hit on our budget or any of that.
So, Mr. Chairman,
mm-hmm.
So I'm clear on this. So this would be for scholarships?
Mr. Chairman, it would be for support of graduate student education. Most likely it would go for additional graduate assistantships.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just a question. How many of those graduate assistantships are in that program?
Mr. Chair, I don't know. I can find out. In the past, they have many because they were responsible for the oral communication component of the university studies program, so kind of mandatory undergraduate education. So they have quite a few.
All right. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Question on that. Is this to set up a fund to produce money for the future, or is it one-time monies that go away after the match is made? And once they're spent, they're exhausted.
Mr. Chair, it would be my understanding that the $50,000 would be given to the department, and then it would be matched, and that would be put into a foundation account that the department then has access to in perpetuity until it's gone.
All right.
Well, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just heard a contradiction on that. For perpetuity until it's gone.
Yeah. Mr. Chair.
It was like rainy day or something.
They could just expend from it. Unlike our state funds, where our state funds have to be used over the period of 2 years and then they revert, instead these foundation accounts last until they're expended.
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Appears that closes out Section 300. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, that's all I have on my list. I know there are some other interests for the round robin, but that's all I have on Section 300.
Do I need to move to close Section 300? So move. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. So it appears that we've completed our work for today. We're going to come back at 8 o'clock on Monday morning for round robin. Hopefully we can get that done. And just for the committee's edification, Don, you might want to give us or let us know, because we've modified the schedule, what you anticipate will happen in terms of getting the budget bill together and when we would start working the bill and so forth.
Mr. Chairman, we will start writing a lot of this over the weekend. If the round robin is completed Monday morning, maybe it'll take longer than that, I don't know. It will take us about 2 days to write the bill at least, and then a day with our administrative services staff. And we would probably schedule a meeting sometime on Friday to look over the bill. That's, tentative, depends on how creative the round robin gets and that sort of thing. We would like to get it out and posted for the public no later than, say, Tuesday of next week. And Friday of next week would be the first day of Committee of the Whole in both houses of Senate. Committee of the Whole is no amendments, but just an explanation of the JAC's action. Monday, the following Monday, 2 weeks from next Monday, or 1 week from next Monday, excuse me, would be the second day on Committee of the Whole in both chambers. Tuesday would be second reading, and that would be available for amendments. Wednesday would be the traditional day off. Thursday would be third reading, and then you have a four-day weekend going home. That's generally what we have in mind now.
All right. Any questions? All right. We're adjourned.